wildlife artist and conservationist, Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to The Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Let me get off my white mount and sit down here on the chair. I just rode in from Tombstone. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy. That was a William Tell overture. Remember that, Lone Ranger fans? The William Tell overture or the Lone Ranger theme song, right? Well, along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this, what is it, Tuesday, June the 9th already. Wow. In a few minutes, we will be talking with Cully Stimson of the Heritage Foundation about designating Antifa a terrorist organization and how that will help restore order. I think you're going to find the interview very interesting, so stay tuned for that in a few minutes. And now both the feds and local officials are sidestepping the concept of defunding policemen. Has common sense returned to the politics of all of this? Not in your life, believe me. No. We will, though, get perspective on all of this, police and all of that good stuff, from the proprietor of the Barber Poll, the guy that oversees mainstream America's most honest poll, Andrew Sorace. So stay tuned for that and cheer up, so that you won't lose your mind. That is what researchers now say, and we're going to talk about it. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 greatest science fiction films of all time. Of all time. So stay tuned for that. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. We are delighted to have them oversee what we do. And guys, when you're ready for your haircut, all you do is call Nicole at 727-733-3773, and you'll come in. You're going to come and get a great haircut at a great price. It's a wonderful place. It's as clean as a whistle. You'll love it. Andrew's Master Barbershop. All right, well, lots going on, right? I guess the stock market is finally going down a little bit today from the last I looked. I don't know exactly how many points, but it has been on a trajectory going north, which is good news for those of us that have a few bucks, and I mean just a few bucks in their 401ks and IRAs and all that kind of thing. In the meantime, what's going on with the people in Minneapolis on that city council, and even in Washington, with all of this stuff about defunding police? Nobody's going to defund the police. Who are you going to call when somebody sideswipes your car or vandalizes your house or breaks in or, you, God forbid, some violent crime? Who are you going to call? Your neighbor? No, I don't think so. You're going to rely on your own gun? Well, then we'll have chaos if we don't have any kind of mediating force, right? Anyway, top Democrats are reluctant to speak out on the sudden momentum behind the movement to defund police people. The city council in Minneapolis, God knows what they were drinking when they unanimously voted that they wanted to completely defund their police department. And they said they got the votes to go all the way. Now, the mayor said, no, sir, we're not going to do that. But the city council says, well, we got a veto-proof override. and we can make sure that they are defunded. So what happens? They get that lady that is the head of the city council on the air. Her name is Lisa Bender. Did you see her sidestep the question about defunding the cops? She dodged it yesterday. And the question was asked by a liberal reporter. But she's been among the most vocal behind the movement to dismantle the police force in Minneapolis. Last week she said this: "We are going to dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department and replace it with a transformative new model of public safety." She does not know what in the hell that is, does she? I do not know what she's talking about. So, here's the question from the reporter. "Do you understand that the word dismantle or police free also makes some people nervous? For instance," the reporter asked, "what if in the middle of the night my home is broken into? Who do I call?" And here comes Bender's answer. "I mean, I hear that loud and clear from a lot of my neighbors, and I know, and myself too, and I know that comes from a place of privilege." Now she gets the word privilege in there. Really? Privilege? What do you think the police do? Look at your income data before they come out? I don't think so. But she says it's a point of privilege, I guess, if the police would respond. She says, "because for those of us for whom the system is working, I think we need to step back and imagine what it would feel like to already live in the reality where calling the police may mean more harm is done." What? This is so crazy. And of course, the people that will suffer the most is anybody that thinks thinks rationally about it are the poorest people. The people that, quite frankly, in the inner city areas where more crime occurs, more violent crime occurs in the inner cities than anywhere else. And that's why you have these confrontations more in the inner cities than anywhere else. Because that's where the crime is. So you're going to have you're going to have confrontations between police and the community. Did you know in Chicago, in a 24-hour period, that 18 people in one day, think of this, 18 people in the city were killed by gunfire? The city of Chicago notched a milestone, a grim one. Last weekend, 18 people murdered. That was actually on May 31st, so that would have been, what, a week ago? And a week ago Sunday, 18 people were murdered. It was the deadliest day since 1961. Now, their numbers don't go back further than 61, so it's impossible to say how long it's been since 18 were really killed. It may go back to the days of the 20s when the St. Valentine's Day Massacre had about 15 or 14 people killed all at once. But, I mean, there you go. Now, you don't hear much about that, do you? Now, this is black-on-black crime. A hardworking father killed just before 1 a.m. on Sunday. A West Side high school student murdered 2 hours later. A man killed amid a looting at a cell phone store. A college freshman who wanted to become a correctional officer gunned down at 4:45 p.m. that day. How is that for what's really going on? But we're not going to talk about that, right? Black-on-black crime or inner-city crime or whatever you want to call it, that's what's really hurting. And that's been going on for a long time. Not to those numbers, of course, but in every major city, you've got the same thing over and over and over and over again. And if you keep doing the same thing and throwing the same response to it, you're going to get the same thing occurring. Okay, anyway, let's take our our break. And when we come back, we're going to turn our attention. You know those guys in the dark suits and the scarves over their faces that seem to show up at every protest, Antifa? We're going to talk about them.
Here she comes,
that little town flirt.
Here she
comes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. Thank you so very much for being with us here on a Tuesday. Kind of hot and humid here in Tampa, as we would expect this time of the year. We're delighted to have back Cully Stimson. He is a leading expert in national security and homeland security, crime control, and immigration. Whole bunch of things at the Heritage Foundation's Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. And he has penned a piece, along with some others, about designating Antifa, a domestic terror organization, being a step towards restoring law and order. Cully, welcome back. And first of all, with Antifa, there's this big question of whether it's some sort of like a loosely organized group, or is it a highly, tightly controlled group? What is your, could you give us your overall perspective of the organization itself?
Well, thanks for having me again. Really appreciate it.
Of course.
Antifa has been around a while. They operate in the shadows. They obviously are trying to pretend, on the one hand, that they're not really an organization at all, that they're international. They don't really have a footprint. They're sort of ghosts. At the same time, in your lead up, you noted that they show up at all these protests. They seem to be everywhere all the time. And the Attorney General of the United States, William Barr, has commented that they are one of the groups that they're going to be going after. All you have to do is talk to the residents of Portland, Oregon, and ask them, is Antifa really real and are they an organization? And let's say, yeah, they've been engaging in violent protests. I wouldn't call them protests, violent activities in downtown Portland. They actually severely injured a journalist named Andy Ngo, beat him almost to within an inch of his life. So they're real, and I think we'll find out more if they get indicted and that this actually goes to trial, to find out about their organization, modes of communication, and how they get funded and how they transfer funds to people to do their dirty work.
Do we know much about them, though? Did they start in Portland? I mean, is there a president to the organization? Is there a group? What's going on with that?
Well, I have not studied Antifa beginnings or genesis, so I don't know whether they have a command and control structure like the mafia or whether they have another structure like the KKK does and did with the Grand Wizard. But they clearly have some form of command and control in their organization because they're pushing out foot soldiers to various protests around the country, and they're agitating and engaging in violent acts. And they're doing so with cover on their face because obviously they don't want to get caught. So that's a cowardly act on their part. If they were proud of their organization, they should just not wear a mask and tell everybody who they are.
Yeah.
They're counting on their anonymity to be effective.
So they have been labeled a terrorist group per se, correct?
Sir, so the president has decided to name them as a terrorist organization. And what's interesting is when I looked into the law in this area, Congress has, by statute, defined domestic terrorism. And it's committing violent acts with the purpose of influencing government policy. But then Congress never attached a criminal penalty to it, nor did they make it an actual crime. They just made it a definition. So whereas in international terrorism, there's a definition as well in Congress that Congress has put out federal statute. But then they've created actual crimes where you can go after international terrorists, like material support for terrorism, which is typically against Al-Qaeda or other types of members. So it's a step in the right direction in the sense that it's the president, the head of the executive branch, is directing the attorney general to pull the resources of the federal government away from other investigations and put them on Antifa and others involved in the criminal acts in these riots. But there is no crime of domestic terrorism. It just does not exist in federal law.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you say a terrorist designation really doesn't change any of the charges the feds can make, but it'll prioritize attention. You call it a good start. You say more can and should be done. What more can and should be done, Cully?
Well, the statute of limitations has not run on the attacks against Andy Ngo in Portland and other attacks that Antifa has engaged in the last few years. And so if they're going to put the spotlight of the federal government on Antifa or other organized groups that have been engaged in this violent behavior, then they should do that, and they should go after, to the extent practicable, other acts that they've done, not only in the last few weeks, but in the last few months or years. And, you know, it takes years to build a good RICO case, a racketeering case. Sometimes it takes months if you have cooperators. But I think in pivoting off of other priorities and making this a priority of the federal government, I would not want to be a member of Antifa having participated in any of these riots, because now the federal government is no doubt getting warrants from judges and listening to phone calls and all sorts of other things that will ultimately result in indictment.
We're talking with Cully Stimson. He is an expert in national security and homeland security. And right now, with all of the riots and protests and demonstrations and everything, he works at the Heritage Foundation Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. We're talking about designating Antifa a terrorist or terror organization. Cully, it seems, though, like chasing these Antifa soldiers, whatever you want to call them, is kind of like chasing smoke. I mean, let's say the next riot somewhere, right? I mean, you're going to have to wait, and you get him, you know, and he's dressed appropriately, right? He's got the dark uniform on, and he's got the dark bandana, and I don't know what else is part of the uniform. So you haul him down to the police station, or a couple of them, with that uniform, and they've been breaking things and whatever. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you're going to question them as to who their leader is? I mean, what? I just don't see how it gets to. It's like, as I say, chasing smoke. Your thought?
Well, these cases are challenging on one level in terms of going after the whole organization, but if you catch somebody in the act of committing a crime, you arrest them and charge them with that crime. And people, at the end of the day, have their own liberty interests at heart. So if they're a true believer and they're not going to narc, they're not going to narc on somebody above them, well, then they won't. And they'll just go to jail for what they got convicted of, for the property crime or arson or whatever they did. But some people talk. And the government has ways of lawfully interrogating people and giving them incentives to talk. Like, look, we'll take it easy over here if you tell us who that guy is over there, and cross-referencing information. That's why I said these RICO cases against the mob and other organizations take time. But when the federal government trains its attention on a particular group, then that particular group has a problem.
Yeah.
Because the federal government can turn up the heat.
Yeah. But, it just seems like it's not like a movie where, you don't find out that there's this big group of people that are running the operation, generally wearing suits and ties and speaking very eloquently until the end of the movie.
Right.
Are we going to end up in Antifa with finding this little group somewhere located in some castle in Europe, or it doesn't seem like there really is anything other than maybe messages on the internet among some people, but maybe you've got something more.
Well, to quote my old boss, we don't know what we don't know. That's Don Rumsfeld. And what we don't know, although I think the federal government has a lot more in their clutches than we know publicly, of what their command and control structure is. But people don't just randomly show up at these rallies with communication devices, with a driver, with getaway drivers, with all the stuff. There's somebody's behind. There's some bodies are behind this. Now, obviously, this radical organization was designed to be harder to catch. They're doing this on purpose this way. They're going and intermingling with the crowds who are lawfully, peacefully exercising their First Amendment rights, because everyone's angry about what they saw in that video of what happened to Mr. Floyd. And they're exploiting that. They're stirring up the crowd. They're whipping up people to do things. And they're agitating among the people who are most likely to take a next step and cross over from protected First Amendment speech to criminal acts. And so they know what they're doing. This is not an accident that they're showing up at all these places. It's not an accident that they're traveling across state lines with the intent of committing felonies, which, by the way, invokes federal law. So sooner or later, the federal government will indict some people and will know more about their command and control structure.
Right. Do you sense, Cully, that there is somebody that is financing it, that actually is, submitting dollars to people to get over to the latest area of protest and to start causing trouble?
Don't know. They're either the individuals are either financing themselves, which I doubt, or some person or persons, more likely, are providing funds through various cutouts and other means to provide them the minimal amount of funds to carry out their dastardly deeds. So again, we just don't know. I mean, people throw names out there and suspect who or what people are doing this, but I'm not going to guess because that's inappropriate because I don't have the evidence.
Mm-hmm. So do you think, finally, a final question, do you think that these demonstrations across the country are kind of winding down right now? Do you sense the air coming out of the balloon?
I don't know. Just when I thought that might be happening, you see another one here this weekend in the district, in the greater Washington, D.C. area. There was a big rally. I'm all for rallies, as long as they're peaceful and people are exercising their First Amendment rights. That's one of the strengths of our country that distinguishes us from our brothers and sisters across the pond. But when groups like Antifa or others circulate in the crowd and then agitate people and then exploit the criminal laws by committing crimes, that's the problem. And so I don't know whether they're dying down or not. I think it's more likely than not that police reform and criminal justice reform will be part of the political discussion going forward in the lead up to November. But whether the rallies continue, I have no idea.
Sure. Colley, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, I love being on your show, and thanks for having me.
It's always our pleasure. Thank you, sir. Okay. Colley Simpson from the Heritage Foundation. Let us take our break when we come back. I can't wait to talk with our energetic proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Cerisi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barbershop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Return the sender. Return the sender.
Hey, we are back on a Tuesday. And golly, Prince Andrew, you know, the younger brother of Prince Charles. Now, his entire life he's had nothing to do. And he's fabulously wealthy. So what does he do? He goes to that island where all of that trouble is going on with Jeffrey Epstein, and he's photographed with some of those young kids, right? Oh, you remember Prince Andrew of... Prince Andrew, Prince Charles... Ed doesn't know who I'm talking about. The younger brother of Prince Charles.
That's Prince Harry, isn't it?
No.
Oh, okay, you...
The brother.
Older Charles, yeah.
The brother.
Yeah, he got caught going there.
Yeah.
You know who else was there, too?
No. He doesn't want to come over and talk.
You know what?
He's got time. He doesn't have a job. He can come over and talk, and he can tell us about his trips. And he lands in the islands in the Bahamas, and he says, "Hi, Bill Clinton, how are you? I got the room over here. And, Bill, you got the room over there. Hey, we're going to have fun." Why doesn't he want to tell us what he did? Now, he doesn't want to talk. So, Andrew, maybe they didn't do anything except play cards over there, but I got a hunch that Prince Andrew is persona non grata with his mom. What do you think?
Well, first of all, he don't want to talk because he knows he'd be a dead man. Let's be real.
Okay.
He's got his own death sentence there.
If he dare say one thing about our buddy Bill Clinton and what he was doing over there, do you think that would...
That's what I'm saying.
He'd have to cash in his chips? Should he just...
You have another royal funeral going on.
Should he just jump into the shark-infested waters around the island? Is that what you're telling me?
He'd be better off.
Okay.
He'd be better off. But, Paul, that's a dead story anyway.
It is, isn't it?
You know, it's a dead story now. And then once they bury... What's his name there, Mr. Floyd? Today, that'll be a dead story.
That's what I was going to ask you next. Do you think these demonstrations are going to continue on much longer? We talked with Colley Simpson of the Heritage Foundation. He thinks there may still be some more things going on. What do you think?
Well, there's going to be all kinds of things going on from now to the election. The Democrats are desperate, number one. I mean, I'm actually expecting that this, you know, these riots and stuff, this is going to quiet down, and they're going to see that this really had no effect on Trump getting reelected, because from what I'm reading, they're saying that Trump's got about 40% of the black vote now.
40?
That's what I'm hearing.
Where are you hearing that one, my friend? I don't
that's
know.
It's all over.
Uh-huh.
It's all over. We must be looking at different sites on the computer.
No, I'm not questioning the accuracy. I mean,
I'm saying, yeah, from what I'm hearing, they're saying it's phenomenal what's going on with the blacks.
Well, I'm thinking this. Anybody that wants safety, whether they are black or white or green, are going to want protection from the police and the dumb, crazy... Completely. I mean, it's more than a fairy tale.
Well,
it's
Paul,
a joke.
You know what, Paul? If I was the president of the police union in New York, you know what I would do?
What?
What I would do today? I would tell them we're walking off the job.
Yeah.
Let's all walk off the job. We're not reporting to work until they get this crap straightened out.
Right.
And you know what? Let them call in their psychologists to handle the problems.
Yeah.
That they're going to have. It's ridiculous.
I think you were probably moved, if you knew about it. All of these Democrats took a knee for 8 minutes and 40 seconds or whatever it was.
Yeah, they had to get a Hoyer lift to help Nancy Pelosi.
Well,
back.
I was just going to ask you, because it was very, very sad after Nancy was down on one knee for 8 minutes and 45 seconds. I think she fell asleep. Then I think somebody gave her some smelling salts. And then she tried to stand up and she fell over. It was not
teeth
very,
fall out?
Yes, indeed. It was not a
Kamala
very...
Harris wasn't there, was she?
Who?
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris. I did not see her in the group.
I didn't see her. I bet you she would have got up pretty quick.
Yeah, do you think so?
Hey, okay.
Well,
anyway.
It was a very emotional scene. I mean, first of all, they had Nancy in the front. They had them spaced out. I mean, talk about a setup for the cameras. For the cameras. And then they got... I mean, maybe I shouldn't be so...
Well, do they really think people care about that?
They're
Paul?
Laughing at them. That's what
people,
I'm trying to
they
say.
They look
they're
like a Halloween costume
they
party.
They do. And that's the other thing. Nancy's now wearing a fashion-friendly... I'd like to say blindfold, but it's not a blindfold. It's a mask anyway. And
those are custom coronavirus masks. Those are custom made, Paul.
I think this all works in Trump's favor. I mean, I cannot believe that these Democrats actually think that talking about defunding police is going to work in their favor.
Like I said, the police in all these Democrat states and cities, if the police are catching all this crap, they need to go on strike. Every one of them will walk off their job.
Well, that would
don't
be...
let them talk about defunding. Let's just do it ourselves. Here you go. Go play the psychologist with our pace. See how long it's going to last.
I'll tell you one thing that would really increase would be gun sales if that ever happened.
How much more could they increase?
Yeah.
In New York, what are you going to do? You can't get no guns in New York.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
What sales are going to increase up there?
Did you hear about what's going on in Chicago? I talked earlier.
Oh, record numbers.
Record numbers. And here's something else. Distraught Windy City officials caught on tape fuming over looting and riots. My ward is S blank blank T now. You know, this is what's going on. And they know it. They know it there, and it's going on in so many other places as well.
Well, do they think that this is going to win them their... What more do they want? They don't even know what the hell they're protesting for, Paul.
Yeah.
They have no clue. And this stuff is a bunch of baloney. The police got to be able to do their job, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry. They're building this guy up like a saint. I got news for you. What is it with the black people? Everybody that's a junkie that puts a gun to a pregnant woman's belly does how many years in prison? He's a freaking martyr?
Well, they won't dare talk about his background. They'll only talk about him being some sort of an inspirational. It's the same
enough
as
for this.
It was
it's
the same
enough,
thing
Paul.
As that guy in was it Ferguson, Missouri, or wherever it was.
Yeah.
The guy was a thug. He was a thug, and of course he was fighting back, and they changed the entire narrative on that one. You know.
You know, Paul, if this it's is crazy. What the blacks are putting up as martyrs for their cause, you know what? The blacks got a big problem with this. Because it ain't going to get him anywhere.
Well, what it covers up or covers over is the true sadness of what is going on in the inner cities. And these people do need protection, and it's, you know, it's sad. Young
Paul,
children
you know,
getting
Paul,
shot with bullets and
what's
mothers,
created in
it's
the
everything.
Inner cities is being created by the people themselves.
Yeah.
They all got a chance, Paul, to get out of there. Everybody's got a chance in this country to better themselves.
Mm-hmm. And it starts with mothers and fathers in the household. And
well, there was a breakdown of the family unit, Paul. They've been working on that for years.
And secondly, a good education so that the kids get a springboard, you know, a springboard into adult life. And I would think, again, with the choice that a voucher program would make, and allowing these families to take the children to the school of their choice rather than stick them in the local public school where they don't learn anything.
Paul, how many people would do that?
What?
I'd be curious in the inner cities to find out how many of these parents, or single mothers as you're going to put it, are going to get up in the morning, drive their kids to another school so they get the better education.
I think
it's going to happen.
Oh, I think it would eventually. If you had a child, you would certainly want to see that child well-educated.
I would, Paul.
And if you could make a choice for your child, and you knew that there was danger and trouble and non-instruction in your local school, would you not want to get the child perhaps in a bus? I mean, as far as transportation goes, you can figure that one out. That's just a
detail. I would, yes.
I know you would. And so would most.
But I want to know how many other people would, Paul,
I think most would.
50% of the people in this country are messed up, Paul.
Yeah, I know. There's always going to be that.
Okay.
They're always going to be that.
Out of that 50%, I'm going to say maybe 10% will do it.
Yeah.
What I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I mean, people got to be, first of all, the free sex. The woman gets pregnant, they shack up with the man for the night, there's another kid.
I know.
Enough is enough. I told you, the most confusing holiday is coming up here in another week. Father's Day.
Yes.
Do you know, I know one person. God strike me dead. He has got 6 children with 6 different women. Could you imagine Father's Day in that house?
Yeah. That's terrible.
You know what I call him? I call him the father of our country.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, you're talking about George Washington?
No, I'm talking about this guy that I know.
I know. I'm kidding you. Hey,
he got 6 kids, Paul.
Yeah. On another.
And you know what? He was in prison all the time, too, getting in trouble. Couldn't even take care of the kids.
Yeah.
But how dumb were these women shacking up with him to begin with?
Well, we've talked about this before, and I'll say it again to the point of being ad nauseum about it. I think you got to pull away welfare benefits, which indeed make it more attractive to continue to have children and not worry about a father. That's number one. I think you got to give the vouchers. You've got to help figure out a way to bring the father back into the household. And I think that's where it starts.
You make him liable, Paul.
Well, indeed.
You make him liable.
You make them responsible. And if you
don't. That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, another quick topic, real quick. Attorney General Bill Barr is saying that basically the FBI spring-loaded for Trump. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
In other words, that they were ready to go after him. You know, as soon as he took office, Barr talked on Fox News with Brett Baer about this whole thing and how aggressive an approach the FBI took investigating Trump's campaign ties to Russia and continuing to push forward that narrative, even when their evidence was falling apart, they continued to do it. So there was a conspiracy, was there not?
Well, of course there was. We knew that right from the beginning. And you know what? Attorney General Barr needs to get this done and over with quick, because that alone, getting rid of all those bad people in Washington, is going to calm down a lot of what's going on, Paul.
Yeah.
This needs to happen. It needs to happen now.
Yeah,
we're talking about it. Do it.
Yeah, they got Durham doing all of this stuff. I know it's a mammoth task. But at least couldn't he come out and say, look, here, let me give you a, what do they call it, like a halftime report? It shouldn't be a halftime.
That's right. And then make sure he pulls everybody's passports.
Yeah. In other words, you know, we are getting somewhere, and there are going to be some indictments. We can't talk about all of it right now, blah, blah, blah. But just at least to say, you know, yeah, I'm on the case.
Trump's got to clean the swamp. That's what he's talking about. That's what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Now, these people, they get this done. Paul, we're taking a step in the right direction to stop all these problems that are going on. You know what I'm saying? Because they're the kindling wood under all this fire.
I just feel bad for Joe Biden because he's getting his hopes up that he's going to be the president you know. And also, he's getting his hopes up that when the virus situation melts away, he'll be able to be huggy-feely again, right?
Well, they're doing nothing but exploiting Joe Biden. I'm like you. I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah.
You know, the guy's got dementia or Alzheimer's, and here's these people putting him in front of a crowd to make an ass of himself every time.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you do that to somebody?
Because we need comedy relief in this country. That's why. We need somebody to stand up and do some clownish narrative.
It's a sad thing.
Oh,
you can't wait to debate Trump. Do you know what Trump would do to him on the stage?
I can't wait. I want to see it.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
He doesn't have
popcorn sales are going to be extremely high.
As far as Trump goes, way I look at it, he doesn't have to do a damn thing. All he has to do is just sit and let Joe talk as much as possible.
He's got a temper, so all you got to do is say a couple things to ignite it, man.
Well,
make him go off the handle.
Well, you know that Donald Trump can do that. He can find your on switch.
That's right.
That's absolutely right. Andrew, it's always a pleasure, my friend. We'll be talking again on Friday. So
you got it, Paul. Hopefully we'll have no riots between now and then, but I'm expecting the aliens to attack us.
The aliens? From Venus?
They're going to blame Trump on that one because he made that rocket go up and pissed off the aliens. So.
The only thing I'm wondering, is it going to be from Venus or Mars? But we'll find
out.
There
you go. All right, buddy.
Thanks, Andrew.
I was going to say something, but I won't.
No,
I'll talk to you later.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, no, this is a G-rated show, Ed. We can't have Andrew saying bad things. I hope I was not trying to draw him out on that. Anyway, we got one more segment to do. Let's take our break. And when we come back, did you know that if you if you cheer up, you will not lose your mind, according to researchers?
If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barbershop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities, the best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all.
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for listening in to us. And by the way, we are here on the Tantalk Radio Network every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And if you cannot listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to us on podcast. Just go to ourfreedomworks.com and click on the podcast button. Ed sets up all our shows on podcast. You'll be able to see who the guest is and our top 10 before you even start listening. You can go down the list, find, you know, a top 10 you want to listen to, or maybe there's a guest there that you'd rather hear or a topic. Ed sets it all up. Ourfreedomworks.com. Okay. Hey, Ed, this is something very interesting. Do you buy into this? Did you know that gloomy people are more prone to dementia than people that have a positive outlook? Here's what they say. People who have a persistently gloomy outlook may be more likely to kind of lose their minds, according to research. Repeatedly thinking negative thoughts may lead to a buildup of harmful deposits on the brain, which are linked with Alzheimer's, which is the most common form of dementia. Do you buy into that, Ed? Do you think that that's true?
I think it could be a factor, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. In other words, if you've got a bright, cheery outlook on life, maybe there's something about your brain and health that...
stimulating it.
Well, you want to continue in it or something. I don't know. People that start giving up on life, you know how things go. It seems like they're the ones that suffer these debilitating things, right? Anyway, this is coming from the University College London, where the lead author of this project, Dr. Natalie Marchand, said, we do not think the evidence suggests short-term setbacks would increase one's risk of dementia, but those that have long-term outlooks that are negative and gloomy are the ones that they think may be affected. So, in this study, they observed 292 people over the age of 55 over 2 years. And they completed questionnaires about how they typically respond to a negative experience. Then they did brain scans to measure deposits of brain protein. Anyway, this is where they came up with this idea that you got to be kind of looking at things, you know, the glass is half full rather than half empty. Also, and this is my own thought, have you ever noticed that people that are conservatives politically, as opposed to liberals, seem to be a little bit more, I don't know, content? It appears to me that people that are conservative and believe, you know, in free markets and capitalism and the like, I don't know what it is. Maybe their lives are running better. But it seems like they have a more positive outlook than lefties. I don't know. Maybe lefties always see the suffering and the pain and the depression, and they come from inner cities. I don't know what it is. But I find that to be very interesting. So therefore, what I'm trying to tell you is that conservatives will keep their wits about them longer than liberals. All right. Are we ready for our top 10? I think this is going to be a good one. Now, yesterday, Ed, we had the top 10 greatest adventure films. And now we're going to do... Are you a sci-fi buff? Do you like science fiction movies?
Most of them, yeah.
Okay. I mean, if you see that there's going to be a science fiction movie somewhere on Redbox or something, do you make a point or do you...
I don't go out of my way.
Okay.
I'll take a look, but
yeah,
that's what trailers are for.
Exactly right. So we went to sci-fi.com to get the top 10 greatest science fiction movies. So without further ado, here we go. Number 10. District 9. Did you see that?
No.
Okay. A practical, realistic sci-fi environment on Earth. The aliens look photorealistic, as does their technology, and the human response is right on target. Well, that was just... I did not see the movie. Okay. Number 9. Number 9 is Children of Men. Did you see that one?
No.
Okay. I thought you... Well, you did say you're not a big sci-fi fan. Okay. Due to a medical condition affecting the entire world, humanity has lost its ability to reproduce. Okay? That's the premise of the movie. And so just think about it. All the things that can occur in a dystopian future where you know you're not going to have anybody after you. Okay, there you go. Number 8. Jurassic Park.
Yes, of course.
You did see that. Okay. That was Spielberg, I think. And the film's ideas make it a classic. Jeff Goldblum was in that. There's an ethical debate with the character that is the scientist that creates the park. Sir Richard Attenborough played that role. Pretty good movie, I remember it. And I think the technology in that movie was kind of, at the time, kind of groundbreaking.
Yep, it was.
Okay, number seven. Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, all of them.
Oh.
Well, three of them, actually.
So did you like them?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is the original. And Michael J. Fox, Christopher Lloyd make this film exciting and quite a thrill ride. All right, number six. Blade Runner.
I think that had Wesley Snipes, but it didn't attract me.
Harrison Ford.
Okay.
Harrison Ford was in it. 1982 classic. Has become so iconic that its look and tone are still constantly copied.
Hmm.
He's like a bounty hunter. He hunts down synthetic life forms.
Well, that did a good job. He was busy in that era.
Between
the Star Wars, the
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones and that. And,
you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Now he's just an old man. He still shows up in movies.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him the other day in one, by the way.
Oh, he just did the latest Star Wars, too.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. He plays a ghost in it, but, you know.
Does he come up in a wheelchair? And
No.
Okay. Number five.
Couldn't borrow yours. Hey, you can't take a shot at Harrison Ford like that.
Ed, I'm going to make
you
a crack about you one of
you
these days.
You can't take a shot at Harrison Ford
I
like that.
I can, too. He's older than I am. Yes, he is. Then don't you say he's not. He is. All right, number five. Oh, you already rang the bell.
Yeah, I did.
See, now I'm getting dementia.
No, I didn't.
All right, this is a movie we talked about yesterday, Aliens. Aliens, remember?
Okay.
It was on our...
Yeah.
And you saw that one, right? It's the second one. Ripley has a battle with the Queen. And by the way, one of her iconic lines, get away from her, you bitch.
Yep.
Okay. Number four. Number four, it's E.T., the extraterrestrial.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it?
Not until probably 10, 15 years ago.
I think it was more for kids, but
watched it, and I heard so many people tell me I messed up. I hadn't seen E.T.
Number three, 2001, A Space Odyssey. Did you see it?
I saw some of it. It
was groundbreaking.
Oh, okay.
In 1968, it was groundbreaking. Number two. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Yes, good movie.
Apparently, everybody says it's one of the best Star Trek movies.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Number one.
I don't know if it's got to be one of the Star Wars flicks or not. I don't know if it falls into it.
You're right. Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
I think it was the second one.
Yes.
And then we find out that that Darth Vader is the father of Luke Skywalker.
I am your father.
Big moment. All right, my friends. There you go. Thank you so much. We will be back on Friday. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City.